Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study coming from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And our study is in the book of Daniel, and we're in part two. And our study today is continuing in chapter 7. And this part two includes chapter 7 through 12. So, first of all, before we start, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Father, humbly before your throne. And we're just asking you, Father, to teach us your word. Give us the wisdom and knowledge to understand your truth, Father, that was all written down by your finger. And we just want to know you more, that we'll be able to live our lives to glorify your great name, Father. Thank you for this privilege that we have to study and for the Holy Spirit that leads us and directs us and teaches us your word. We ask it now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Our last study was on lesson two, and it was about it was from chapter 7, and it was about the fourth beast. Now today, we're going to be looking at back at some reviewing, and then we're going forward, and our study is still in chapter 7, and the part that we're studying today is the king is coming. We're going to see after all these four beasts that there will be a final kingdom that is coming in the future, and that is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we'll start looking at Daniel chapter 2, 4, and 6. And I'll just briefly give a review on that. Daniel 2, verses 44 and 45. This was Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And it was man's view, and it was the time of the Gentiles. About 55 years before the time of Daniel 7, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about a statue, and Daniel interpreted that dream. And it was about the four earthly kingdoms, and then God's everlasting kingdom, putting an end to all of these four kingdoms. So the first of those kingdoms referred to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. Now, going to Daniel 4, verse 3, we see that Nebuchadnezzar praised God Most High when he regained his sanity. It was about the tree dream, and because of Nebuchadnezzar's pride, God brought him down. And we know that whenever he served that time of insanity because of his disobedience and because that he didn't believe God and he had built up so much pride in himself, we knew that God brought humility, and that was whenever we studied that in Daniel 4. And his kingdom was about to come to an end, but we know that God's kingdom will last forever. Now, in Daniel 6, verse 26, when God delivered Daniel from the lions, that was about 15 years after Daniel had his vision there in Daniel 7. Okay, we're talking about 7 today, and 6 was about 15 years after Daniel had this vision in chapter 7. Now, Darius the Mede was the king at this time, and he praised the Lord as the living God, whose kingdom will not be destroyed. Now, let's kind of review a little bit of the early part of what we have studied in Daniel chapter 7. We know that everything is relating to the four earthly kingdoms, one after the other. Babylon being first, Medo-Persian was the next kingdom. The third kingdom, as we learned, is going to be Greece. And then the fourth is going to be different from all the others. And we studied about that fourth kingdom in our study last week. And it was going to be a dreadful, terrifying, extremely strong kingdom. And it will trample the remainder of the others and devour the whole earth. And there would be 10 kings to be associated with that kingdom, and another one different from the others. And it would overpower three of them, and he'll also make war with the saints 3.5 years and speak against God. And that's referring to the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And that king is referring, as we will study in chapter 7 through chapter 12, is going to be the Antichrist. Now, judgment will come from the Ancient of Days, who is God, ending this 3.5 year time of tribulation. And this fourth kingdom will be destroyed, and dominion will be taken from the other beast, and they'll have an extension of life for an appointed time. And then we see in our studies that the Son of Man, who is Jesus, will be given dominion, glory, and a kingdom by God the Father. And verse 14 indicates that this will also be an earthly kingdom, as all the peoples, nation, and languages will serve him. And this will be a time, going back to the stone that crushed the statue. That's what it's referring to, the time that Jesus will set up his kingdom. He is the stone that's crushed the statue. And Daniel 2, and fills the whole earth whenever he crushes. That means that he'll crush all the other kingdoms. And then it will be an earthly kingdom set up by him. So Jesus' dominion is going to be everlasting, and his kingdom won't be destroyed. And we also see that the saints, the holy ones, will receive and possess the kingdom for all ages to come at the appointed time. This is the end of the 3.5 years, during which the king of the fourth kingdom wages war against them and overpowers them. And we know that he's going to overpower all the other kingdoms and the other kings, but he won't overpower Jesus when he comes in this final kingdom that he will set up after the end of tribulation. Jesus will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, to kind of bring this study together, we're going to look at Old Testament passages, and we're going to see how that God has orchestrated all of this. And in the past, there were prophets, and God gave information to all of these prophets that we're going to study today about end times. And as we read through these prophecies, we want to look at how that it will compare with what we're studying now in the book of Daniel, because all of this comes together just as God has orchestrated it, but he gave the prophets knowledge of all of this, and even some of these prophets were before Daniel, and some of them may have come after. But I want to look at Isaiah, and we're going to look at Isaiah 2, if you want to write this down, verses 1 through 4. And I will quickly try to get through this. It's going to take a lot of time today to read all these scriptures. But looking at Isaiah 2, 1, 4, the word which Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now, remember, Judah was a part at that time of the southern part of the kingdom. It will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it, and many people will come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion," which means Jerusalem, "and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations and will render decisions for many peoples, and they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war." So this is a prophecy from Isaiah, prophesying to the kingdom of Judah at least 75 years before Daniel. And he warned of the coming judgment on Judah, but he also prophesied of restoration in the future. Now, let's look at what it says here. Remember that Judah and Jerusalem was Daniel's home until the exile came. And so we see how great the kingdom will be in the future because of God's law. Now let's look at chapter 9 of Isaiah, verses 2 through 7. "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Thou shalt multiply the nation. Thou shalt increase their gladness. They will be glad in thy presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou shalt break the yoke of their burden and the staff of their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as the last battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace, or on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, uphold it with justice and righteousness. For then on and forevermore the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." So, especially these verses tells about Jesus' coming, his first and his second. He is the Prince of Peace, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will rule on the throne of David. So Israel, his rule on the throne of David over David's kingdom in Jerusalem, Israel, to establish it with righteousness. So We know that Judah went into captivity because of their sin. They turned away from God and worshiped idols. But we see here that when Jesus rules in the last kingdom, that righteousness will be established in Israel. Now, let's look at one more passage. Let's look at Isaiah 24, verses 21 and 23. So it will happen in that day that the Lord will punish the host of heaven on high and the kings of the earth on earth, and they will be gathered together with prisoners in the dungeon and will be confined in prison. After many days, they will be punished. Then the moon will be abashed and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and his glory will be before his elders. So punishment is coming. We see that in 21 through 23 of Isaiah. Coming for the host of heaven, Satan and his angels. You can study that in Revelation 12. And for the kings of the earth, punishment is going to come. And it was prophesied by Isaiah. And at that time, the Lord will reign, it says, on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. So, you can relate this to Jesus' rule on earth in Daniel 7. Now, let's look at some scripture in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37, 21 through 28. There's a good bit of scripture in this. And so just bear with me, because we need this scripture to help us bring together what we're studying now in Daniel. Chapter 37, 21 through 28. And say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountain of Israel. One king will be king over all of them, and they will no longer be two nations, and they will no longer be divided into two kingdoms, and they will no longer defile themselves with the idols or with the detestable things or with any of their transgression. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. So Ezekiel was taken captive to Babylon during the second siege. You remember that Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were taken captive in the first siege where Babylon went in to Judah. But now, this second siege that I just read, that was prophesied by Ezekiel, given to him by God, during the second siege, it was about 8 years after Daniel was taken there. Ezekiel prophesied at the same time as Daniel. So we're seeing a connection of the prophecy that God gave to Ezekiel and to Daniel, both at the same time. And so, God will make an everlasting covenant of peace with Israel when he brings them back to their land and cleanses them. Now, we want to go further in studying here. We want to look at scripture from next is Zechariah. So bear with me as I get to the scripture of each one that we are studying here. Zechariah, and if you want to mark this down, we're looking at chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. And I'll quickly read this. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, Thus saying, says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Zion. Yes, with great wrath I am jealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the City of Truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts will be called the Holy Mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women will again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each man with his staff in his hand, because of age. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it is too difficult for the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, will it also be difficult, too difficult in my sight, declares the Lord of hosts. Thus said the Lord of hosts, behold, I am going to save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west, and I will bring them back, and they will live in the midst of Jerusalem, and they will be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. So we're seeing now how that because of sin and disobedience that God has allowed these other nations to take Israel and Judah captive. So here we see that Zechariah began to prophesy about 33 years after Daniel 7. Okay, Daniel has already seen this vision, and now we're seeing that God gives a prophecy to Zechariah. And he spoke to the exiles who had returned to their land from Babylon. So, see, now we're looking ahead. Daniel had seen the vision, and now God has returned them 33 years after Daniel 7, and he's returning them from Babylon back to Jerusalem. And God tells of his jealousy for Zion or Jerusalem. He will return and dwell there. And he says, will Jerusalem be called the City of Truth when Jesus rules and God's law proceeds from there? So, also we can ask, do verses 4 and 5 refer to the time of the covenant of peace mentioned in Ezekiel? Okay, we keep all of this in mind, and we want to go forward, and we want to read Zechariah, the 14th chapter, and we'll read verses 1 through 9, and 16 through 21. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half of the city exiled. But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. And then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in the middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half the mountain will move forward toward the north and the other half toward the south. And then I'm not going to finish reading all that because we'll run out of time here. But we see in verse 5, in the latter part of that, verse 5, it says, Then the Lord my God will come and all the holy ones with him. So, we're seeing how that Zechariah foretold another time the nations would gather against Jerusalem and the city is captured. And the next time that happened in Jerusalem's history was in AD 70 when the Romans took it. But is that the time Zechariah is speaking of? Because we see in these last verses that I mentioned here in 16 through 21, I will read the highlights of those. Then it will come about that any who are left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and celebrate the Feast of Booths. And then he goes on in that, and he says, "This and the family of Egypt does not go up to enter, then no rain will fall on them. There'll be a plague which the Lord smites the nations," in verse 18, "who do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Booths." And then going down to the 20th verse, he said, "In that day there will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, Holy to the Lord. And the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the bowls before the altar. And every cooking pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord of hosts, and all who sacrifice will come and take them and boil in them, and there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts in that day." So, at the time, the Lord will fight against the nations. That's nations. It's more than one. As with Rome in AD 70 that comes against, and he will return to the land at that time and set up his earthly kingdom. So Zechariah is not only seeing what is taking place here at the time in AD 70, but God is giving him the vision that he can see what's going to take place at the end of time. It says, "In that day, his feet," he's talking about God, he's talking about the Lord Jesus, he's going to fight against these nations as he fights on the day of battle. And it tells us that in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in the middle from east to west, and there will be a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. Now, you can go back to Revelation and you can see the connection of this, of the future that hasn't come yet, and how that the Lord is going to fight the battle in the end, and that he will win, and he will return to the land at that time and set up his earthly kingdom. Now, I know that was quick and may have been confusing, but I hope that you could see the connection of the prophecies of those of old that prophesied along some of them at the time of Daniel and some of them after Daniel, but how their prophecy all comes together, just as we're studying in this seventh chapter of the book of Daniel. Now, I want to give you some scriptures from the New Testament. I want to go back to Matthew, because we're going to see after Jesus came and he walked here on the earth and called his disciples, then he began to be asked questions because he had told them what was going to happen, that he was going to the cross and die and that he would be resurrected. And so then he goes on to tell them that he would come back, and when he come back again, he would set up his kingdom. And this is what we're studying now in the chapter 7 and in these prophecies that we've just studied. So let's look and see what we find in the New Testament. Some of this Jesus himself spoke, because the disciples began to ask questions about when is this going to happen? When are you going to come back? So we see in Matthew 24:3. Let's look at that first, and then we'll look some more in Matthew 24:3. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, this was Jesus, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when all these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age." See, this is where they ask him the question. Now let's look at chapter 29 of Matthew and 31. We're still in chapter 24. We want to look from verse 3 to Matthew 24:29-31. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Now this is Jesus himself speaking, and he is telling of his return, that second coming that he is going to make when he comes and sets up his kingdom. Quickly, let's look at chapter 25, 31 through 46. And I'll try to get through these as quickly as I can. I may not read all of them, but he's talking here about the judgment. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from the other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Now, I want to go down to verse 41. And then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me." And then they themselves also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, and stranger, naked, and sick in prison, and did not take care of you?" And then he answered them, saying, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So there is coming in the end, and this is what he is predicting here in Matthew 24. And there will be a judgment, and there's going to be a great time of tribulation. And then we see that immediately after the sign of the Son of Man appears, all the nations of the earth will mourn, and they'll all see the Son of Man, Jesus, coming, and he will gather his elect, and then they'll be gathered together for judgment. After Jesus' second return at the end of the 3.5 years. That's when the judgment comes. And let's look now at Revelation 19, verse 11. Let's go to Revelation 19, verse 11. Okay, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. Now look at Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So here, this is the account of Jesus' second coming. You can relate all of this back with Daniel 7, Matthew 24 and 25, and also with Revelation 12. And chapters 12 and 13. And this is at the end of 3.5 years when Jesus will return. And the beast, which is a king, and the kings of the earth will assemble a war with the Lord Jesus. But the king, the first beast of Revelation 13, and the false prophet, who is the second beast of Revelation 13, will be seized and thrown alive into the lake of fire. So you can compare this with Daniel 7, verses 9 through 12, and verses 25 through 26. We see that Jesus himself, it says that there's no battle, because the rest of the nations that gather for war will be killed with a sword which comes from Jesus' mouth. Jesus himself will come to fight in that last battle called the Battle of Armageddon, when all of the nations gather together against Israel. And Jesus is going to be the one that will fight the battle with the sword of his mouth, with his very word. And the devil will be bound for 1,000 years so that he can't deceive the nations any longer. And judgment will be given to those who have not worshipped the beast or taken his mark, those who were killed for refusing during the 3.5 years. These are the ones that it says will be given those who have not worshipped the beast. Okay? This is the ones in tribulation. You remember that we as believers have already faced judgment, but this is a time whenever those that have been saved during tribulation, then they will come to have judgment, because they were the ones that were killed for refusing to worship the beast during that 3.5 years time. And they will reign with Christ with those other believers, the saints, that come back and set up the kingdom with Christ for 1,000 years. So, this is a lot, but as we go forward further in our study, you will be able to see how that God has orchestrated all of this down through time. And he has put it together in his word for us. We have the very beginning. Before God came, in the very first verse in Genesis, it tells us, in the beginning God. So we have God. Even before the beginning, there was God and nothing else. And then God inspired these great men, these prophets, the Word, and the disciples. And He had it written down for us all the way from Genesis through Revelation. So we're studying now in the book of Daniel because he is one of the prophets. And what we're doing is bringing together the other prophets that we can see that not just Daniel was given this message, not just Daniel was told of the things of the future and what was going to take place, but God gave it to others, and He gave it to them and had them write it down for us. So just be much in prayer for yourselves and for me, that God will just open up His Word and help us to bring it all together and see what a great sovereign God that He is. And there's no other but God. I thank You for being here through our study, and I pray that You will just continue to study the Word. And I want to close now with prayer. And I pray, God, I pray, Father, for each one that has come together to listen and study Your Word. And I just pray, Father, that You will continue to use me and let me be the clay, that You may mold me and make me, Father, in Your way, and give me the wisdom and understanding that I may lead others, that they too, Father, may understand Your truths. Father, thank You again for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And I pray that during our study on Daniel, if there be anyone, Father, that has never believed upon the name of Jesus, I pray that through this study, that they will come to see Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and that they will give their life to Him and live out their life to glorify His name. And I ask it all now in the name of Jesus. Amen.